You're listening to today's podcast for free, mostly in part to our good friends at Squarespace. That's right. They are sponsoring today's episode. And whether you need a landing page, a beautiful gallery, a professional blog, or an online store, cha-ching, it's all included with your Squarespace website. Whoa, did you hear that? Would you hear what I just did? I made a cash register sound with my voice. I know a lot of you thought, holy shit, Paul, did you have a cash register in studio when you recorded this? No, I didn't. It was all vocally done. I am the next Michael Winslow. All hail me. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. That's all with my mouth. Anyway, start your free trial today at squarespace.com and enter the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get 10% off. That's right. Squarespace, set your website apart. Come on, do it.
We saw the shadow, so you know what that means. Remix.
How did Schwarzenegger grow, baby, in his belly? Rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly. Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a bubble speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Ran the games of Street Fighter, helped to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharpenator, the Birdemic, how we staying alive. They call it in the badass, and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes, cause they cool as ice. Cause a bad Jim Varney looking kinda nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They're just a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of Fargo! We are live at Largo at the Coronet in Los Angeles, our LA-based home, with an amazing crowd. First in our special two-part series, movies from the 90s about superheroes from the 40s that no one gave a shit about. To join me in tonight's dissection of the Alec Baldwin superhero classic, The Shadow, I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks?
What's up, Jason? Are you excited?
I just caught a flurble on my Pokemon Go.
I did tell the audience, do not catch Pokemon Go during the show.
Yeah, guys, put your phones away. Do not catch Pokemon Go.
There, and by the way, I will tell you, there's a
fuck
shit
you?
Ton of Pokemon here in the
they
theater.
Did just say fuck you in the theater?
That's what? Our audience. They don't yell fire that, in the theater. You know, they yell the fuck thing. You in the theater.
This audience is like, no, do not make us choose between our nerdy pursuits. Because that could threaten us. That could threat. Pokemon Go is a legitimate threat to nerdy podcasts.
By the way, it's a threat to everybody.
It's a weapon
even
of
yourself.
Mass destruction.
And I'm also joined by June Diane Raphael. Hello, June! Welcome, June. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Very good, thank you. I'm surprised that you're not wearing your normal fedora and red mask. The Shadow, and you share very similar fashion sense normally. I mean...
Ouch. Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
We are 30 Yikes. Seconds into this.
Guys, you're seeing a full-on slam fest out here.
This is the roast episode of How Did This Get Made? Where you bring us out and then just trash us?
Guys, I was just trying to make a funny little starter. June, you look great as always.
Thanks, Paul.
We have... What?
I didn't say a fucking thing.
Wow. Oh my God, they're gonna fight so hard next
This is uncomfortable. Special guest joining us tonight. You know him from Saturday Night Live. Please welcome Pete Davidson.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Yay. Well, here we are to talk about The Shadow.
And oh, boy.
For those who don't know it, very simply put, this is a movie about a hero played by Alec Baldwin.
Very simply put? I want to hear what comes next.
I tried really
it
hard
is not
to write.
Simple.
I tried to write the simplest explanation. That it is a hero played by Alec Baldwin who is a shadow and he stops an atomic bomb attack in New York in the 40s. Light up your llamas. We have a lot to talk about.
I think
is that your new catchphrase? Light up your llamas.
Light up your llamas.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Well, because, you know, the...
Llama
the,
cigarettes?
Yeah, llama cigarettes.
Oh, I'm aware. to the most erotic billboard I've ever seen in my life.
That mouth was like a puckered asshole. Or
that face pussy is what that was. That was a total face pussy.
King Kong would fuck that mouth if he was attacking the Shadow's version of just
that. I am going to have wet dreams about that mouth. And the smoke rings coming out from it.
There it is.
I'd climb a mountain for a llama. How sexual is that? Look at that mouth!
It is like a blow-up doll mouth. It is.
Yeah. The billboard is begging for it.
This movie is really interesting.
And that's a real question.
I think what I found interesting was in watching the movie like tonight, I'm like, well, here's what superhero movies were, and this is why people never thought that superhero movies could be successful, because they were so bad. This is like to make a movie in the 40s, but also they take away arguably one of the most interesting things. You meet up with Alec Baldwin. And he is like the head of an opium trade.
What is that? I rewound the movie, assuming I'd missed something. Spoiler alert, I had not.
I mean, when we're introduced to him...
Long fingernails.
I hate those fingernails.
You do? I was like, I bet June's gonna like these fingernails.
The issue with them is like, okay, they're long. Like, I can get behind that.
Sure.
Opium and like, they might need to be long. Maybe
sure.
They're being used as spoons.
Okay.
But what I can't understand...
But we wouldn't need them on all fingers. Like,
do you think long nails are part of the opium trade?
Well, I know that sometimes, like, cocaine addicts will have like one really long nail. To like sniff.
Okay.
A huge coke addict in the audience.
Check it
Pinky!
Out.
If anybody needs drugs, talk to that person after the show.
I thought he had these long fingernails because he just likes to play like guitar, you know, just
like he's like a flamenco drunk. Guitarist.
Why are they painted?
No, this was like, this started weird, got weirder, and I did not care for it.
I just want to play a second of just so you get the idea.
Not
of...
Not too much, Paul.
I think they're kind of dope.
Here we go.
They're pretty cool.
And I promise you. Bury them beside you.
What?
Kill them.
Those nails.
They don't even seem human to me.
Hey, that's the villain from Die Hard who ate the candy bar.
Yes, I was so psyched because I was like, there are like two like Asian actors working, and they were in every movie. Like that's the guy from Lethal Weapon who tortured Mel Gibson, and that's the guy from Escape from or Big Trouble in Little China. Like
and
they
that
were in
other
everything.
Guy also plays Kung Fu Panda's dad. In the Kung, the who's the, but he's a stork, I believe. And Kung Fu Panda doesn't realize that it's not his real father until the second movie.
The stork
Don't
delivered Kung Fu Panda.
What's that?
Did the stork deliver Kung Fu Panda?
No, he didn't. He runs a noodle bar.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know that guy, right?
Of course. Wait, I'm sorry. Have you guys not seen the Kung Fu Panda movies?
Not a one.
Okay, we're gonna need to talk about that.
I'm seeing for the first time now, does Alec Baldwin in this section of the movie have the prosthetic nose on?
No.
No.
Oh,
when he's
but,
the shadow?
When he
turns into Stephen Baldwin?
At any point.
What if all the Baldwins could morph into other Baldwins?
That's what it looked like.
Well, it's so weird because they don't even, you wait until the very end of the movie, they're... Oh, he's not wearing like a weird mask. His face is
that's
just
his
morphing.
Transformation.
Yeah, why? They never established that.
Why does that happen?
Okay, because here's the thing.
And I mean this with all due respect. Why the fuck does his face change in this movie?
Because here's the really confounding thing. If he is a hero that can become a shadow, that means he can't be seen.
Correct.
So why does he need a disguise?
Don't
why
know.
Not just become a shadow?
Great.
I would argue that this movie is full of those questions. Like, why would he need an elaborate system of pipes, pneumatic tubes all over the city? Okay.
Oh, you mean the 45-second montage?
Of someone just putting a note in a pneumatic tube. It, like, shoots all around the city to a larger bank of pneumatic tubes, and then the guy's like, oh, here it is, and then he puts it in another device that then eventually gets to him, and then he goes...
And there's 10 of them.
Yeah, there's 10 tubes.
At which point, Alec Baldwin has to put on a dark suit, put a scarf over the lower part of his face, and morph the upper part of his face into something weird. Like he's wearing a wooden mask.
But then he also goes to get the message from the pneumatic tubes, and the message is a little guy on a TV. He's like, hey, someone was killed. Later. Like, it wasn't... There was really no information that you couldn't get out of a newspaper. Yep. Or just... Why did he even know why that needed to be a secret message?
I think my best guess at this movie is that Alec Baldwin had been living a really bad life for a really long time.
The actor Alec Baldwin?
No.
Yes. Oh, no.
I think
that's well documented.
The shadow. And so he then somehow, some way, becomes a shadow. And then...
Wait, that's the part I really want to talk about.
Okay, all right. His guru, whoever that guy was who showed up, somehow... changed his perception of his life.
Well, Jim, would you argue that maybe some of these questions would be answered if they didn't eliminate the montage, the training montage? Like he basically is kidnapped, then there's a title card, it's like, and then he became the shadow. Yeah. Anyway, we're in New York and it's better.
I guess what I'm saying is he becomes a sort of dark knight. Where yes. He is doing good things as a former bad person.
Sure. Is the villain in this movie a knife?
That's what I wrote down.
Actual knife, yes.
I wrote that. Like the knife is really the only constant.
Because the other guy is just like not a bad guy.
No. He likes just, suits yeah. and good whiskey.
Yeah.
No, bourbon.
Oh, bourbon. Sorry.
No, I could not. I really had so much trouble figuring out why Alec Baldwin became the shadow, why he was chosen, why they went to him to get him, to bring him to the temple, why we lost the whole thing, why Genghis Khan's relative showed up and was like, oh, you're actually this ancient guy from like so long ago, but you now look like Alec Baldwin because our hero needs to be a white American man?
Yes.
He used his powers for such stupid fucking things. He showed up to a dinner and the guy's like, you're always late. And he was like, I was not late. And the guy's like, oh yeah, you were right on time. And it's like, what?
Well, and that was my problem with the movie too is...
He is the worst user of power. I mean, there seems to be moments where he could get out of anything. At one point, when he's caught as a shadow, like not like in the shadows, literally as a shadow, he... freezes and stays there long enough for them to throw something at him and he's like pinned, his shadow gets pinned to the
his
wall.
His shadow gets pinned and which is his cloak or whatever, but then he doesn't just walk away from it.
No.
He just is now like, uh-oh, busted.
But meanwhile,
and the hubris
beginning of, this movie,
of that cackling laugh and then he gets caught, I was like, you're terrible at this.
His strength, like he could, in the beginning when you first, the first fight scene, where you see the shadow is, I mean, just to give you an idea, I mean, the tone of this movie is all over the fucking place.
You could tell they were going for Batman in the beginning.
Yes,
In the very beginning, it was very Batman.
It feels like Batman, and like a Batman with like maybe like a third of the budget.
And how much did that guy love shooting that machine gun?
Oh, this...
That guy fucking loved it.
By the way,
the director was like, go. He was like, ah!
I would love to have a job where I get to shoot a Tommy.
That looks fucking sick.
No, I mean, we haven't even gotten into Tim Curry's character, but man, when he goes nuts at the end with his Tommy.
Fat Tim Curry? Yeah. Tim Curry.
These people, like, I feel like the only way I've ever pictured someone shooting a Tommy gun is like, ah! Like, you have to be mental to shoot it. You can't just be like, brah, brah, brah.
And then he shoots his own car.
Yeah, he's not in the car. You're already in that.
Yeah.
So this is like the idea of how scary this character is. Just to get an idea of the tone of it at the top.
Show yourself, fella.
You murdered a policeman, Duke.
Who said that?
Did you think you'd get away with it?
It's a very short bridge.
Did you think I wouldn't know?
You don't scare me! You scare me!
You will go to the 8th Precinct House on 2nd Avenue and surrender yourself, and you will do it now.
He's hanging him around. Oh my god!
So this badass of the shadow really never shows his face again. Like, I mean, he's never this intimidating or bad, or like he's punching people at all. Like, I don't. Yeah, he doesn't really use his powers.
He can do anything.
And this is interesting. He seems to he recruits a lot of other shadows or. Shadow adjacents. I don't know what they are.
Shadow pals.
Shadow friends. I don't know who those people are.
Yeah. Peter Boyle's his homie.
Peter Boyle,
but
the cab driver.
They seem to also have done something wrong.
Yeah, why is he always like, we're to a boss?
But also, Peter Boyle, you would think, oh, that's a good. The cab seems specially outfitted to be like the special shadow cab. But then, like, later on in the movie, Peter Boyle's just like picking up regular fares.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, hey, look, I'm not going to put you on the payroll. You gotta work for a living.
Well,
if I call you, you gotta come.
We understand at this point in New York City, cabs are the only way that people travel. Whether the high class playboy that Alec Baldwin is when he's not the shadow, when he is the shadow, he's in a cab. Chinese warriors are constantly
in cabs.
Into cabs and being like, go, go, go. It's so weird.
And by the way, Chinese warriors, not out of their costume.
No!
They're wearing armor in a cab. Like, hailing a cab, Chinese warrior armor.
Like, out of a textbook. And then there was one great scene where Alec Baldwin's like, I think I'm being followed. And he like kind of does like a thing where he like looks in a mirror to see the guy in the gigantic military wardrobe. Of course that's the guy following you.
Is it because of the metal clanging on metal that you hear 15 feet behind you?
But there was a thing in the cab. Do you remember this? Like in the beginning of the cab, like he's recruiting one of his shadow friends. And he's like, ha, 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 and he gets the guy out. And then the next scene, he's like sweating. He's like, like he's immediately upset. And then Peter Boyle's like, you okay, boss? He's like, come on, club. But it's like, his personality is all of
the transformation between weird shadow face and him, like almost took something out of him.
Again, I would love to have seen what we missed in the montage where he understood some of his powers.
By the way, it's only, does it say
seven years?
Months? Oh, years? Seven years later? Okay, that makes more sense.
Someone says yes.
What was he doing in New York City before he left for Tibet?
His dad says I didn't ask.
He's got that big giant townhouse. So are we to assume that he's this richy rich New York kid who goes off to Tibet and becomes a drug warlord?
And by the way, how did they accept him into that? I don't think a white guy could get into the opium trade that easily.
Not just get into it, but dominate.
Just like, yeah, this guy, I like him. I like the way he thinks.
You know what I'm going to do? So I'm going to like do semester abroad in Europe. Then I'm going to come back. I'm going to graduate. I'm going to go to Tibet. I'm going to corner the opium market. I'm going to become a vicious warlord. I'm going to be recruited by a shadow organization to become a mystical being that is the embodiment of a Chinese warrior from, like, I don't know how far back. Then I'm going to come back to New York, live in a giant townhouse, and medium fight evil.
And it seems to me...
I have a question, though. You've said it a couple of times. Why are you saying that he is embodying...
Isn't he?
What? You think
isn't
he's
he,
Alec Baldwin?
Isn't Alec Baldwin, like, this... Doesn't he have, like, the spirit of some ancient warrior in him? Isn't that what he trained or what he got?
That's what he turns into?
No.
No,
I don't. I think they just
like, he's fucking stupid.
They just kind of like shot him with stuff.
I'm allegorically speaking, not allegorically speaking. But I keep thinking of it like Iron Fist, the Marvel character Iron Fist. So he gets a ancient power that we didn't see in that montage.
Well, you're really making a lot of assumptions.
I'm trying to make sense of it. I was trying to make sense of it because I wanted it to add up.
Well, look. We should throw all sense out the window when the first kind of main bad guy we meet is a knife that has a face.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that knife comes back a lot.
Yeah.
And he never learns the lesson that maybe the knife that's just powered by itself, you shouldn't fight that. Like that, I think the knife has the advantage at all times.
The knife was terrible special effects.
Wait, but what was that knife? I'm always bad with this. What was that knife in? He played the dad in Terminator 2 that night?
Yeah, he's
really good.
Yeah. And he was a waiter in the Blues Brothers.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's a good knife. That knife is good.
That knife's great.
So the guy... So... Wait, now I'm thinking that maybe he was... Was he a police officer?
Who?
Alec Baldwin.
No, okay.
I think he's supposed to be...
All right, scratch that.
He's like Bruce Wayne-y kind of socialite playboy, I think.
I mean, he drinks a lot. He definitely drinks a lot. Like, he puts away 2 martinis every time.
Yeah.
Like, they come back, here's 2 martinis. Don't even finish it. Here you go.
Well, he's always leaving. He's always coming late and leaving early, so he's got to get his drinks in as quick as possible.
I thought that this movie was full of, like, this... like chin acting, chin and eyebrow acting, a lot of arched eyebrows and a lot of cocked chins. Like, you know, and I don't know, but I'm on board with Alec Baldwin's portrayal in this. I liked the craziness of this character.
It's not his fault.
No, he's great. I want to show you this.
I heard that's the reason, though, that they didn't give him Batman.
Really?
Like, on the next come around, it was because his shadow performance.
It is, I guess it has a little bit of...
He's Alec Baldwin the fuck out of this role.
You know what I mean? It is. It's like Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock.
He's,
like, in a superhero movie.
I met a girl and she could think and I have to run away. That was the most insane thing I've ever seen. He literally was just like, you like my dress? He's like, I have to go. She knows I like her dress. Fucking pussy.
By the way, Penelope Ann Miller never...
Is that who that was?
Yeah, she never not... I felt like she was wearing a nightie the entire time.
I don't know, I was one when this came out.
This is a... Take a look. This is the Alec Baldwin acting.
acting.
I'm onto your plan, Khan. You still don't have the beryllium.
I love it.
You can't complete the bomb. Besides, you know I'm gonna stop you.
American are so arrogant. You think your meaningless, decadent country is the new cradle of civilization? But let me tell you something.
That's the U.S. of A. You're talking about.
I am talking about ruling the world.
I'd like to give you a name. Leonard Levinsky, brilliant psychiatrist. You'll talk.
I'm sorry, me.
And there's the knife.
Like, you could have added, like, you could have added to any of Alec Baldwin's lines just at the end, lemon.
Well, hey, I think
that's
I've
the
never
US
seen...
of A, you're talking about lemon.
He was trying to be really funny in this movie.
I think he was, and there's
he was really trying to be funny.
Like, I feel like there were like legitimate jokes in it. Like, there's one time where she, like, Penelope Ann Miller's like, I had this dream and my body was hot and whatever. He's like, I had a dream, I ripped my face off. All right. I laughed hard. I was like,
that was great.
That was really funny.
That was good.
I thought the movie came alive when they were able to banter together.
I agree. Yeah. I want to see more of them.
But why was his uncle the police commissioner or father? Okay, uncle. Why was he so disgusted by Penelope Ann Miller?
Yeah, no, Jonathan Winters was like, oh, here comes a trash bag full of nonsense. I don't even...
So and he's upset like,
I don't even
her.
Know what you would see in her.
She's
beautiful,
a stunning,
smart
beautiful woman.
Woman
that just walked in.
But even so his strange. Presence, like if you took Jonathan... I mean, by the way, huge Jonathan Winter fan, but if you took him out of the movie... It would make no difference because he does nothing. He basically is like, oh, I hate this this shadow. And they're like, there's no shadow. Oh, okay, there's no shadow. And then that was one scene. The next scene, he was like, oh, someone got murdered here. Didn't ever really investigate it further than that. And I think you see him a little bit later. And he's just like, he's eating again and the shadow is late. Like,
he's always
no,
late.
There's no, I feel like he shot all of his scenes in like 2 days. Like that was it.
Not even.
I was wondering too, where did she get those powers from?
Well, I wrote this down.
I think, now I might be right. I think she's a reincarnated Chinese spirit.
Okay. I wrote
ancient
this.
Ancient Chinese.
It would have been better if she was like the knife's daughter. Like, that would have been cool.
My mother was a knife.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, you ever see Kung Fu Panda? How he thought his dad was a stork? Four people in this movie are telepathic.
Yeah.
That's
a lot.
That's a lot.
Which is crazy.
Like,
yeah.
you don't really want to, like, it loses its coolness factor when four people can read each other's minds.
What about when he was in the water and he was like, I'm drowning? And she was like, he's drowning. And then she drove all the way there.
And if he could shoot his memory out there, why wouldn't he just do it to a guy working on the docks? Like,
yeah.
Dock worker, save me. I'm going to shoot it way across town. And then he has a place where he can breathe air out of a bullet hole.
Yeah.
But he immediately goes away from that. Like, yeah. Just
to
hang
go
out
to the
by
door,
the bullet hole.
To go to the door, which is still locked.
Yeah.
You know how you're going to know when it's unlocked? She's going to open.
So keep, and all the water will be gone.
Keep breathing. Yeah. By the way, when she opens that door, the force of that water coming out would explode her body into mush.
Jesus.
The door would... shape out onto her, flatten her into just person mush.
My favorite was when Alec Baldwin was explaining to her how to open it.
Yeah.
Through the window. He was like...
and it was not
she
a
was
complicated
like, ah,
door.
I am. Fucking dumb bitch.
The door was simply a circle. Turn one, lefty loosey, righty tighty. Like, that's it. Not hard. I did want to just talk about this moment here, because it comes into play, but Penelope Ann Miller does a 2 a.m. visit to her father, and this is this moment.
Dad,
does she wear that dress the whole
shirt?
Movie?
That's what I'm saying. She's always...
You said I look good in green. Hmm?
No, this is green. That's red.
Mm. Red, green. Mm. Well, to me, it's just a clean shirt.
Mm. Which wire?
I don't remember. I just don't remember.
Pick one!
Oh, well, what the hell? It's usually green.
No! Green! This is green. That's red.
I've got to try to remember that.
What a good callback.
So,
right? That touched my heart at the end. That was really nice.
Is he colorblind? Yeah. Or is he just... too preoccupied in science to know the difference between colors.
I would love to be in the writer's meeting. We'd be like, I got it. You can't see green and red.
But he doesn't say, like, it would be so easy to go, like, oh, well, you know, I'm colorblind. He's like, oh, to me, it's just a clean shirt. And then he's like, I got to remember that. If you're colorblind,
you can't.
Well, by the way, Paul.
You can't train yourself because
like,
you're colorblind.
He didn't. It does posit the theory that he forgets what colors look like.
I have to say, Paul, you've had trouble admitting you're colorblind.
I guess you're right.
You have.
Didn't want to bring this up in front of all these people.
Whoa.
But, yeah.
No, but I think it's an uncomfortable thing to admit. I think... It's
I'm not
hard.
As bad as that. I know the difference between red and green. Like, you're wearing a beautiful blue shirt and green pants.
Yeah, but
like
you're a little bit colorblind. And I do think, as a colorblind person, and I'm not one.
Oh, thank God.
And thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God. But I imagine it's a strange feeling because you don't know. Like, you're just being told you're colorblind all the time.
Yeah,
you're not walking around and missing colors.
Can you imagine if you lived in a world in which colors were a lie? When you saw things, they were lying to you?
So scary.
Wow. That was really deep.
Maybe I keep it under wraps too, because when I say, hey, is that blue couch? You'd be like, no, you see blue? That's weird. You make me hermit in my colorblindness.
I maintain your colorblindness is a little bit more subtle than this. It's
yeah, that's game. A giant one.
It is. It's
yeah,
blue
no, you
purple.
Would definitely
it's
know how
purple.
To disarm a nuclear weapon.
Done it 3 times. By the way, that nuclear weapon was the dumbest. The atomic bomb that rolled like the Indiana Jones ball so through stupid. A hotel.
That was so stupid. And also the discovery that the guy goes through to be like, well, but I mean, like a bomb like that would be impossible. I guess unless you did this, and you did this. And then it's like fade out and fade into, someone has built that bomb. Oh, this movie was dumb.
Hey everybody, we have to take a brief break in the show to have a word from our sponsors. You know, we are lucky to have a sponsor like Squarespace. Why? Well, because they're the fucking best. Okay, seriously. You're gonna go make a website yourself, you're gonna go buy the domain name, you're gonna go graphically design it. No, you're not. You're too lazy for that. There's so much TV to watch, there's so many books to read, there's so many friends that you need to make. So why don't you use Squarespace? That's right. Squarespace will hook you up with whatever you need on the web. You want a store? They got it. You want a blog? They got it. You want a beautiful gallery to show off your work, your portfolio? They got it. You want a landing page because you don't even have a website, but you want to have a presence in this world because we are only defined by our social media descriptions of ourselves? Well, guess what, people? Squarespace is going to help you. You're an actor. You want to put a headshot up. Great. You're a store. You want to make, your shirts for sale, whatever. You could do it all. And why? Because it's easy, right? You can create it with a very simple, intuitive process. I guarantee you go to squarespace.com, just play around, see how it works. And you'll be like, oh, cool. I just built a website. Just like that. It's just that easy. Plus, they have a free custom domain. That means that you're going to get your name that you want. You sign up for a year, they're going to give you that domain for free, okay? Plus, they have these amazing templates. You just start designing from moment one when you get there. Seamless commerce tools, but I've already told you all of this. The best thing that I love is the 24/7 customer support, okay? These are people who know what they're talking about. I've talked to them. They have helped me. They continue to help me. So, here's the deal. What are you waiting for? Start your free trial today at squarespace.com and enter the offer code BONKERS, that's BONKERS, to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace.com, offer code BONKERS to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, set your website apart from the other ones that suck. That I added the last part. Have you heard about Now Hear This? Now Hear This is the first ever podcast festival that I know about. I'm sure there may be other ones, but I know about this. It's basically going to be like the Comic-Con of podcasting, taking place this October. It's actually October 28th through the 30th in Anaheim, California. All your favorite podcasts will be there, including How Did This Get Made? So for all of you people out there who are like, come to our hometown. We want to, we probably never will. So why don't you come to us and see us do a very special big show with some other amazing podcasts? I'm talking WTF. I'm talking Lauren Lapkus. I'm talking a lot of shows that I can't even mention yet because they're top secret. But if you want to get your tickets early, you want to get that early bird special, do it now. Head on over to nowhearthisfest.com for your discounted tickets. But be warned. Come August 1st, those tickets are going up in price as new names get announced. So get in on the ground floor. Get your tickets today. Come see us in Anaheim. We have a very special, fun show planned. I think you're going to really dig it. All right, now on to the show.
I guess we should get into Shere Khan.
Sure. The last living relative of Genghis Khan.
Which seems to be impossible because... Like, I don't know. It feels like, well, here's my issue. He speaks perfect English. He seems very attuned. What?
Everybody speaks perfect English everywhere they go in the movie.
Yeah.
Even if it's like Chinese Warrior 1 talking to Chinese Warrior 2. Yeah. They're going to choose to speak English to each other and be like, he went that way. Okay, I'll go this way. You go that way. Okay, cool.
And it also posits a world in which those people were not living in New York City. They somehow came. Like, I guess my whole thing is,
how did he get an army of warriors? I kept wondering that.
Well, look. I don't even understand why he had to come in Genghis Khan's tomb. That made no sense. So, like, was he in there for a long time, like, for this ruse? Because
you're saying there are other ways to get here.
Yeah, just get on a plane. Yeah. Like, it didn't seem like he was a mummy. Like, I thought, is Genghis Khan come back to life?
Was he ancient?
No.
He wasn't?
No. He was the last living relative.
Okay.
And he chose that as transportation.
It's cheap. Don't want to buy that first class flight.
I genuinely now am really curious and have a little bit of fear that I don't understand what is going on in the movie. The Genghis Khan
guy.
You're
going to have a June moment.
I'm going down the rabbit hole. I thought he was like a very old ancient warrior guy. That's what led me to believe part is.
I did
so
too.
So why does he know Alec Baldwin? Why does he know who Alec Baldwin is?
Well, because I think he came from the same place that Alec Baldwin.
They were both trained by the same guy.
Yeah.
When were they trained, though?
He said, I killed your master, right? And then, I mean, that's why he took the knife. Again, we don't see any of this.
But it happens.
We hear it all as a quick line of exposition in between scenes.
That's how he has the knife.
Okay. Okay, fine.
But he is born, you know, in the same...
Okay, okay.
But for some reason, come in
well,
in the tomb?
I'll tell you why you thought that, because he came in sense. In a tomb.
Yes, in a tomb in, like, ancient armor.
Yes, but that was, again, just the way he got there.
Yeah.
And then he does a bunch of Garden State shit, where he's just always, like, on the floor matching the rug, and then, you know, in the wallpaper, matching the wallpaper. I'm like... All right, we get it. These guys are into blending, I guess.
My favorite was the cops bit of like closing the little portholes.
Oh yeah,
for like 35 seconds.
But it seems like he drew so much attention to himself. He could have just come in the Brooks Brothers suit. I mean, he wants to get his nice suit and drink some. Yeah, like I don't know. I don't like. I thought he was Genghis Khan for a long time.
I did too. I thought he was Genghis Khan.
And by the way,
first,
why not?
Like 15 minutes. Yeah.
I thought so too. He did say he came in Genghis Khan's whatever it is, sarcophagus or whatever, in order to like gain some of his power or something like that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. He gave some half-assed screenwriter's reason for like, that's how I came because I got some power from it.
His main power though seemed to be like that he loved getting people to kill themselves.
Yeah.
Oh.
Loved it.
The Empire State Building scene, I think, is one of my favorite scenes ever in a movie. Like, a Navy guy walks by, is like, hey, nice hat, toots, to Shere Khan. And then, like, that's his name, right? Is it? No, was it? Sure. Donkey Kong. Shaka Khan. And then, like, he's so upset that someone called him a lady. He's like, get up. And he makes this Navy man climb over.
My favorite thing is he goes...
with his fingers miming
like
the wall.
Finger walking gesture to tell the guy, like, climb up over the fence and jump off.
To which the man jumps off the Empire State Building, and then immediately as he's falling to his death, they cut down to Alec Baldwin going, it's all falling into place.
And you see like, the guy going like, boom, boom, like falling and hitting the building twice.
And which leads me to believe, uh-oh, we just upset a Mongolian. Somebody just exited the theater very angrily. But that leads me to believe that there was at some point more humor in it.
Should we wait for him?
Let's just wait, just kind of kill some time until he comes back.
Well, the weird thing about
like
that
I don't want him to miss any.
Yeah, let's go.
The weird thing about that guy killing himself is that everybody else seemed to kill themselves happily.
Yeah.
With pleasure.
No, this guy really was like, get me down! I don't want to do this! I felt bad for him.
He stopped me. I felt really bad. That guy's been in everything, too.
Yeah.
That actor.
From the Mad Men and a bunch of different stuff. Yeah.
How about the guy in a fight? This is the thing that infuriated me, because you've got a hero. This is based on an incredibly popular radio drama of, or radio
serial,
show,
whatever. Yeah.
Serialized radio show of the 1940s, 30s.
Which, by the way, you could argue the reason why he was invisible was because it was a radio show.
Exactly. So in order to put it into a visual medium, a hero who is not seen, the only way to see him is see his shadow. They are constantly constructing ways for people to shine lights around a room. Like, there's a whole fight sequence where people are fighting and one guy picks up a flashlight and he's like scanning the room, and every once in a while he'll catch like, uh-oh, the shadow. And then it goes away and then it's back. That was making me crazy.
But then at certain points too, like when he was beating the shit out of everyone on the bridge, he just seemed like a super fast, like kind of Tasmanian devil kind of thing, like Ant-Man.
Yep, like he had like a kind of smoky presence, which was cool. I was into it.
But then sometimes he's a straight up shadow, like a pancake shadow, like
sometimes,
a one dimension.
And then sometimes he's a human shadow.
Yes.
And by that I mean Alec Baldwin with a prosthetic nose and a mask on his face.
I still don't know why that happened.
And
in my justification, I was like, ooh, I wonder if that's what the ancient warrior looked like, and that's him coming out. Don't know anybody. I'm like confounded by the mythology of this character. Clearly.
Jin, what did you think when he ripped off his face?
In the dream sequence?
Yeah.
I hated it. It was horrible. It was just horrible. I watched this movie in segments of like 10 minutes at a time.
Why did he have nightmares, though? They never explained that.
Why did he?
Yeah, he just always had nightmares.
He was always envisioning himself as the bad guy, because I guess he was a bad guy, but he was envisioning himself as that bad guy, not... himself.
Well, he has
what the
a nightmare.
Fuck?
Yeah, it's like
he has a nightmare about being, it's him, Alec Baldwin, in the bad guy's armor, like warrior armor.
Yeah.
Like in a fight in my mind in the very distant past.
Oh. I was thinking of it more like, how can I be fighting this guy? I am this guy. Like I'm equally evil.
Well, I think that was the idea, that's his internal struggle. Like, am I good or am I bad?
It's a bummer how impossible this movie is.
Well, at the end, again, going back to your point, which I agree with, which is the knife seems to be the ultimate bad guy. The knife is the guy who hurt Alec Baldwin in the beginning. The knife comes back and stabs him in the middle. And at the end, they have a full... By the way, this is the worst ending ever, because it is just two guys... battling with a knife that they can both mentally control, like, so it's
wait,
like...
Wait, is this Hall of Mirrors as well?
Yes, Hall
There's
of Mirrors.
There's also Hall of Mirrors, which I was like, why is this, what? Well,
I was doing some research, or I should say Nick Kiley was doing some research, and I was like, this ending is shitty, and then I found out it was because the earthquake of 1994 destroyed the set. And they were like, Hall of Mirrors.
Oh, wow.
So.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was, So that was that.
What was it going to be?
I don't know. The other interesting thing was...
We haven't even gotten into like how that building became invisible.
Sure.
And then
that's a power he didn't seem to have before.
And then also the building was invisible, but it also seemed like it was a hotel or a club. Like it had like a big logo on the front.
It was a hotel.
So that's odd. Like if you're going to psychically create a building that you would also monetize it.
He's not creating it. He's hiding it.
But it was under construction when he...
No. It was a bit. No, it
he
was.
Hypnotized, he hypnotized everyone
to think it was gone, but it was, I believe, his base of operations.
But I thought when he pulled the cab up to it, it was just an empty lot.
Yeah,
this is hurting my mind.
Okay. I don't want to continue this discussion much longer. But it was an empty lot because we, as the viewer, are also seeing what basic civilians are seeing, which is an empty lot.
That's the whole.
But wait, so he had
like,
somebody go there and hide a hotel like years
ago? Paul.
Guys, okay. Let's just all leave the room for a second. We'll let Paul and June.
Now, the hotel was solid blue, right? What?
They've been hypnotized.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, I get it.
So he didn't have someone go over there and tear down the hotel. They've been hypnotized to not see it there and to just see, like, a construction pile.
That hotel had always existed.
It was never not there, Paul.
But I'm asking about... Yeah. I'm asking about the people who were staying in the hotel. What happened to them?
Nope. We're checking in at 12 p.m.
But they were like, what if they were like, because it seemed to happen in the middle of the night. So if they were sleeping, they woke up.
Why don't you meet me in my room? I'm in room 201. No, I don't think there are no guests in the hotel. It's just the bad guy's lair.
All right.
This was a $40 million movie. The budget for this movie was $40 million in 1994, which is like $93 million today.
That is crazy. I'll reveal more of my dumbness if I ask questions about this hotel.
Both of us. I feel just as dumb.
Because I guess my question is this. I know he's hiding it. I get that. But for how long?
How long?
Well, he's only been there. He only arrived at the Museum of Natural History a couple weeks ago.
Whoa.
Wait, you say what, 6 years he's been hiding it? Hold on. Wait, why is it?
Hang on. Before we even go to this guy. Is there something fundamental about this movie's plot that we are missing?
Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on. All right. Wait, who has
can one
that?
Person succinctly explain what we're missing?
You think you can or you think you can? Wow, you both. Are you both? All right, well, we'll have a duel. We'll see. But if she gets it right, you can't talk. All right, come over here. Here we go. Kumite, you wanted the kumite off? And now you come close. I want to keep you both close here so you can both kind of go off. All right, so here we go. They're not going to fight, but... all right, so tell us what we're missing. Here we go. What's your name, by the way?
I'm Kate.
Kate, nice to meet you. What's your name?
Honey,
nice to meet you. Kate, tell me... Kate just complimented your name.
Thank you, Kate.
Say something nice about Kate.
Oh, my God. What? Are you guys falling in love?
She says that Kate looks very... Okay. All right, Kate...
Did we just make a love connection?
All right, so Kate, go for it. And at any point, honey, you go, and I'll go to you.
So in the scene right before the title came up,
yes.
When he was in the Severus Snape wig, right, with all the chest hair, the trainer said, you are going to change your appearance. And so that's why he did all that.
But he did
change. You're not explaining the hotel part.
Alec Baldwin.
That's a fun plot.
Okay.
So when Genghis Khan goes to meet with the Shadow the first time, he basically says, after you got trained, the master wanted to take on a new disciple because he saw that he could do it. So he immediately...
Wait, I'm so sorry. Can you say that again?
He got immediately trained. And then so he actually... Because then they also say later that the hotel disappeared 6 years ago. So basically, Genghis...
By the way, hold on. Kate just said...
Right, well, we're talking... She's talking about the hotel. I'm talking about a park.
Got it. Okay.
Guys, wow. Don't fight. You just fell in love.
Actually for 6 years.
No.
Wait, the movie?
No. Guys, no. No, he's hypnotized people to believe that the hotel has been gone for 6 years.
Disappeared 6 years ago. Yeah. Disappear the hotel. It has to be somebody that's powerful enough and Genghis Khan could actually overtake.
What'd you just say?
That's actually pretty good. Yeah.
But this is, like, here's
Genghis
the thing.
Genghis Khan could overtake the shadow, and the only reason he went into the He needed more power because he was draining his power. So he went into the tomb, and
so
he was just
been sitting
trying
in that hotel
to.
Why do you know this? You shouldn't care that much about this fucking movie.
I'm just gonna
say this movie was ass.
I'm gonna say that six people watch this movie. One can describe it. One can explain it.
I feel a little better now because, like, you, like. No. None of it.
And the reason why that I don't agree with it is, why did the tomb arrive?
Because
it
sucks.
By like delivery.
Because
it arrived.
Sucks.
It arrived via delivery, and the
with
people
no
at the
address.
Museum were like, "We didn't order this." What is this?
We didn't order it, but
we didn't
open
order it.
Right. So he needs to go
weird
into that
weird security guy.
Why
open
not,
it.
Why not deliver it to himself?
To the or to the invisible hotel.
Yes,
deliver it to your invisible hotel.
Because then this movie would be good.
But also, why kill the cab driver when everyone in your organization is also taking cabs all the time? You're keeping a record of where I'm going. There's gas.
Why not just be like, yeah, the whole movie is Jedi mind tricks. Why not just be like, forget you ever drove me anywhere. Okay, cool.
My power is suicide. Well, obviously we missed a lot of stuff.
I don't think we did.
This one's a bad one.
What did this get on the tomatoes?
Well, the tomatoes ratings may not have been around at this point. It doesn't have a tomatoes rating. I imagine it's... Oh, no, I remember I did see it. It was like 30%. Like in the 30s, low
that's
30s.
That's generous. Cat in the Hat got 10%. So fuck Rotten Tomatoes.
This movie, in the grand scheme of things, is the year that Forrest Gump, The Lion King, and True Lies came out. And according to the movies that we did in this show, it was Street Fighter and Junior beat this movie, but Color of Night did worse than this movie. To give it some context.
Hey, everybody, we have to take one more quick break. Oh, credit scores. All right, these two words are key to your financial reputation, and you may not even realize how important they actually are, okay? Your credit score may impact important things in your life, from your car and student loans to your mortgage and interest payments. And maybe you don't know what yours is, but Credit Karma does, and they are here to help. Here's the deal, okay? Credit Karma will give you completely free credit reports and scores with no hidden costs, no obligations. They also provide free credit monitoring, so you can stay on top of all your accounts and get alerts right on your phone. In fact, over 50 million members, 50 million members have signed up for Credit Karma. That means about the same amount of people who have seen Star Wars have a Credit Karma account. This is a great deal because here's the thing. You need to know your credit score. You just need to know where you're at. You may have subscribed to some CD of a month club, am I dating myself? And you may have forgotten that's open. You may have a credit card that you forgot to cancel. You don't know. So just sign up. It's easy. You see what it is. Okay, and then here's the deal. With Credit Karma, you get the upper hand. You can improve your score. And if you have a high score, then you can go into any meeting and be like, suck it, give me a house. Anyway, get your free credit report and scores now by visiting creditkarma.com/value. That's creditkarma.com/value right now. And that's karma with a K. I don't know how else you'd spell karma. So creditkarma.com/value. You never need to enter a credit card, and it's really, really free. Check it out. Today's show is also sponsored by Howl FM. Ooh, I love me some Howl. Okay, Howl is kind of like Netflix for podcasts. What do you mean, Paul? Well, I mean that they have special shows that you can't get anywhere else from amazing guests, all at the touch of a fingertip. Howl is so cool. They have one of my favorite shows there. It's called Hardcore Game of Thrones. For all of you out there who are suffering from Game of Thrones withdrawal, this is the show you need to listen to. If you like hardcore history and you love Game of Thrones, put them together and you get Hardcore Game of Thrones. It's hilarious. I couldn't stop listening to it. It's so well done. 18 hours of Westeros history, and you'll never be confused by a Game of Thrones plot point again. Well, I mean, at least less often. I don't know. Anyway, with HAL Premium, you also get access to more than 150 hours of HAL original miniseries, including shows from Jermaine Clement, Flight of the Conchords, and over 100 albums, 100 comedy albums. That's pretty fucking awesome. New episodes and albums are released every single week. If you haven't signed up for HAL yet, you can use the code HDGTM when you check out at HAL.FM to get a month of HAL Premium for free. But now here's the thing. You got to do it at HAL.FM. That's HOWL.FM. You sign up there and you get your free trial. And then after that, it's only $4.99 a month to get all this exclusive content. And let's face it, you need it, okay? That's HAL.FM, and use the promo code HDGTM for 1 month free of HAL Premium. All right, now back to the show.
Let's go into the crowd here, because I think maybe the crowd might have some questions that we can kind of answer.
35%.
Or 35%.
I'll also take answers.
Yes.
Like, in a rare How Did This Campaign exclusive, like, please give us answers.
Okay, so, sir, your name, maybe the title of the sequel, and your question. Here we go.
My name is Rob. The title would be the VO superhero.
Ooh, I like it.
And I have got so much. He says ha 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 more than the Joker. I mean, he's a cloud at one point. But my biggest thing is Tim Curry.
Oh yeah. Why have we not talked about Tim Curry?
Tim Curry was actually pretty great. I think.
I like it.
It was wonderful. Oh, geez. But...
yeah, but his suicide, his rapiness, all of it.
Well, it's Tim Curry.
He is playing his character from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It was interesting, though, that he committed suicide at the end, because then I started to think that he did believe he was going to be reincarnated.
I'm not agreeing with that. I'm not disagreeing with that, yes.
He wasn't...
Wait, hold on. Tim Curry guy's getting
was
back
he
up.
Being...
Wait, Paul. Paul, just because he stands up, you don't need to go to him.
Good point. That's a good point. I'll go back. Thank you, Jason.
Because nobody was forcing him to commit suicide.
Nobody was forcing him to commit suicide.
He did that willingly.
At a certain point, started to feel like, and they spoke to it specifically, was he under... the bad guy's power the whole... Was he basically under the Imperius curse the whole time? I was trying to figure that out. No, the case was no.
What a great excuse for being rapey. I was under this curse.
Yeah.
Sir, your name, your title of the sequel, if there ever would be one, because it was a planned trilogy, your question.
Wow. What?
Yes. It was a planned trilogy, and they had a bunch of merchandise ready to go. Toys, lunchboxes, everything.
Merchandise for an invisible hero?
What merchandise?
Oh, look.
They killed it all.
I have it right here.
I feel like it's been... Empty boxes. Just fedora. Yeah, all the kids running around with fedoras.
Oh, wait, watch this.
Mom, can I get Ian McKellen for Christmas? My Ian McKellen action figure? And he doesn't know the difference between...
It comes with a red and a green wire.
But you get to see it in his version, which is just two gray wires. Okay, here you go.
Name's Nathaniel, and actually, like I was going to say, that's a trick question because there would never be a sequel.
Okay.
Yeah. My thing is... Wow.
Calm down, everybody.
We skipped a part at the beginning where it's like a harem and it's an opium den. They bring the guy in, his faithful like guy he grew up with, gets in front of him. They tell him to shoot him, right, to kill him. And then...
Alec Baldwin says, like, he's like, you're like my father. Shoot him.
By the way, he couldn't have been like his father because he's only been there for...
6 years. Everything in this movie is in 6-year intervals.
Is his father also the knife?
I want to see the movie with a knife.
Yeah, so then he shoots him and then he tells a joke in like a foreign language and everyone laughs about it. And I was just wondering what you guys thought maybe the joke was.
Ooh, that's a good
you
question.
You want us... to tell you what the joke was.
The joke was, after this movie, they're going to make me Batman.
Does anybody...
That deserved more.
Did anybody tell us what the joke was?
Anyone know...
Anybody speak Mandarin?
Yeah.
It's not completely impossible to assume.
It kind of is like a low-rent version of, I guess, what that movie Doctor Strange will eventually be. Like, you know, like, I mean, Doctor Strange... I mean, in a way, I guess.
Ow.
No. All right, here we go.
Sir,
your name, your alternate title for the movie, and your question.
All right, name's Jeremy. The movie would be Shadow 2, The Parts That Make Sense.
Nice.
Jeremy spoke at the show today. Woo, woo, yeah, yeah, woo, woo. Like a lot of the movies, I think there is an entire second movie just of the parts that you're missing from this one. There's the training montage. There's the six-year buildup that's... Sawan Khan uses to get control over New York and then hypnotize them from a building being gone that isn't explained at all.
So wait, do you think this movie takes place over six years?
Guys.
No, but they say that when the building disappears 6 years ago,
but
he had to have started
people
something.
To believe that.
Yes.
Is he making
you think it went away
That's
6 years
saying.
Ago?
He's hypnotized yeah. you.
Well, what
to
happened to those people who were in the hotel 6 years ago?
No.
They booked it on Expedia, and then they get there, and they're like, wait a second.
Don't they say that they sold the building to somebody?
Somebody in the Far East, and then it
somebody foreign. Yeah. Okay, sorry, yeah. Jeremy's got this.
Yeah, yeah, they said they sold it to somebody in the Far East, and then nobody remembers it being torn down, but it disappeared right after that. So, ostensibly, Khan bought it, and then hypnotized everybody to it not existing anymore. There's
allegedly.
It's probably tied to that llama cigarettes because that's what he uses to hypnotize both of the lanes.
Right, that's true. That's some sort of antenna.
That may be true, but what may not be true is that he's actually been in New York City for 6 years.
Yeah, he could just be pulling that over there.
I'm just gonna throw down one more thing.
I could make you.
Why funny. Even make the hotel invisible? Just lock the doors. No one will ask any questions. It's not like you would question why that building here? Like,
well, the whole movie is predicated on things being invisible.
Yeah, but I do think your point is valid because I think if I were in New York and, you know, maybe a small business owner or...
Oh,
doing what?
What do you think?
Wanting to open up a shop, a flower shop or some such, I would look at that property and think,
oh, you're
wow.
gonna open a flower shop of that property?
You wanted to be a flower shop successful. Owner in another life. But I would think to myself, God, it's been vacant for so long.
I bet I can get it for
I bet
steal.
I can get it, yeah.
And put up,
because the longer it stays empty.
And put up a hotel-sized flower shop on this plot.
But I agree. It begs more questions. Of people.
Do you think maybe it was a metaphor for, you know, maybe people from the Asian American community and like the 1940s were really not seen? Especially in Midtown and
you know
having
what?
A big business,
yes.
you know. Thank
yes,
you.
Paul, yes.
Thank you, yeah. Did we ever get to your question? No, Jeremy.
The question I had goes back to his telepathically killing people or making them kill themselves. He has the taxi driver drive into a gas station directly adjacent to the lot of the hotel that he is taking control of. Why would you blow a gas station up in the building you're hiding into?
Well, I think similarly, when Tim Curry asks him during the final act, is there an airplane that's going to get us out of here? He says, yeah, there is, but I don't think there was. So was he planning on dying with that atom bomb exploding? I guess my answer is I don't know.
What
I think
was
he's
his
okay
plan
with
in general.
What,
why
well,
was he
going to
blow
know.
Up an atom bomb in New York? What was it?
World domination.
Oh,
he did
right.
say
he was
world
domination. He was saying, "Give me money, right? Or I'll blow it." Right.
But
down.
He never really said that to anybody besides
no, it was
the shadow.
On the newspaper. It was on the newspaper.
Oh,
it was,
yes.
oh yeah, it was on the news.
Good. Okay, that's good.
A newsie yeah. gave us that piece of advice. That piece of plot.
I got to go to these people who are wearing shirts. What do we got? This guy has a shirt that says "A man who belongs atop a pencil." 88 minutes, and then you are wearing the Kumite shirt. I love it. Two homemade shirts. Okay. Oh my gosh, we got fan art. This is amazing. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what's your name, your title, and here you go.
My name is Mallory. It would be Shadow 2, Shad Don't.
Love that.
Okay. So I feel like we've all watched this movie and maybe didn't understand it. Where are we going to explain the red rings? Everyone is wearing a red ring, and no one has talked about this.
Well, the red rings are to keep the shadow people together, but then they're also going off at inopportune times that would also call a lot of attention. It would be like wearing the bat signal on Batman's chest.
And there's
so it would be like, hey, Bruce Wayne, why is there a bat signal on your chest? Never mind, I have to leave.
And there's so many of them that I feel like you would be constantly running into people and be like, oh, you're a shadow bro? Yeah. Total shadow bro, bro.
And the other thing is that we're told in the beginning that
the Shad Bros?
Yeah. The Shadow Bros are actually only going to be called upon by using the secret exchange of, like, it's rainy outside today or whatever that was.
Yeah, I Googled what was the point of the hotel in the shadow, and there's nothing. it don't exist.
I would have loved it if, like, while walking through the lobby of the hotel, like, Jack Nicholson had been there on a typewriter.
You know what, though? Wouldn't it have been cooler if the Shad Bros did a thing where they would whisper, like a whisper campaign, like, hey, they murdered somebody at the museum. And the next one, murdered, like, and that's how he got information, like,
well, the thing
through
was,
a
was
whisper
like
network?
Past, it was a combination of past notes.
That disappeared.
Pneumatic tubes and rings that lit up. It was very convoluted.
And imagine trying to put in all those pneumatic tubes, like, they seem to be very visible, and like, well, why is there a tube shooting out of that building connecting to it?
And very ramshackle. I kept being like, oh, somebody's got to be repairing these constantly. The pneumatic upkeep alone must be breaking the shadow's bank.
Guys, can I get a mechanic? Can I get some more Shad Bros that can fix these pneumatic
tubes? I will call upon you to fix
but
my pneumatic tubes.
You didn't even really save my life. You're just making me do work.
I've now saved your life, so you will fix my pneumatic tubes.
I wasn't even standing in the street. I wasn't.
You think I don't see that you haven't fixed my pneumatic tube?
That guy's got to work there all the time in the pneumatic tube depot.
I love when Peter Boyle gets his ring goes off when he's with his wife, and he's like, oh, gotta go. And she's like, oh, come on.
All right, sir. Your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Daniel. My sequel title is The Shadow Knows Too Much.
Ooh, interesting.
So I have a quick comment. One, I think the reason he went to the museum is because he mentioned the Tibetan tapestries were really nice. That's where he got the sick tapestries to match his floor in his lair.
Wait.
What?
He was like, the Tibetan tapestries are really excellent in your collection.
That's not why he was delivered to a fucking movie.
It was an inside job to steal tapestries. If that's the whole reason, he's like, all right,
by
so I'm
going to
make this hotel disappear, but then once I get that all set up.
I wish that was the movie. Because that, I could be like, I get it. He wanted the tapestries.
An Ocean's 11 of tapestries.
Okay, so then I'm going to get in the sarcophagus. You guys are going to ship me to the museum.
The tapestries were like the rugs that he
laid down into. The Garden State thing, yeah.
Didn't something come out of the tapestry?
Yes.
He did.
He made the matching robe.
No, the squares.
The squares? Oh. Yeah. What was that? I feel like maroon shirt has all the answers.
I do. Well,
maroon shirt, do you know what's up?
Hold on, I'll come back to you. Stay here.
Stay down.
Let's see, maroon shirt. Maroon shirt.
Colorblind, right.
What question?
Do you know anything more that you're not letting on?
I feel like you have answers.
What do you know that, that we should know?
What's the story of this movie?
What question do you want answered?
Just what?
What's the story of this movie?
Yeah.
Start from the beginning.
The square?
And finish at the end.
With the squares, he's doing some sort of like power ritual where he needs to summon power to do something. So he's doing this thing, concentrating on the squares. They come out, they do a little dance, and then they like rush back into the tapestry, and he goes, like he's had some sort of power.
Well, you just described what you saw.
I can do that.
But I mean, we're trying to understand. We understand what visually happened.
Is that something we understand from the movie? Like, is that does that connect it to anything we've seen?
Energon, the movie makes no sense.
Is he just
We're going back to Danielle.
Is Danielle right? Do the tapestries themselves have power? That he is
tapestries.
All right. Guys, what's this fucking movie about? I'm furious.
All right, so
well, this is, by the way, now we're getting into the dozens of people who cannot explain this movie. That's a bad sign.
This like, is
there's bad crazy. Movies, but if you can't even get to A to B, we're in trouble.
All right, so Alec Baldwin, married to Kim Basinger at a time, right, was in Batman. Batman in the mythology was inspired by Grey Ghost, which was a character based off of the Shadow. Alec Baldwin did this movie as a power play in his relationship. Thoughts?
Great question.
Oh, guys. I love that everybody's like, ooh, burn.
Like, but Alec Baldwin's like, I'm gonna get back at my wife through comics. I'll upset the comic balance of our relationship. Okay. Question better asked without an answer. Here we go. Your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Killian, and my title would be Shadow Revenge of the Knife.
Nice.
All right. So I actually have like a theory on who Lamont actually is.
Ooh, great.
Lamont is actually Peter Pan. And
I'm listening.
Let me explain. Peter Pan and his shadow. So Peter Pan and his shadow are two different entities, right? Oh. So the shadow of Peter Pan can be captured. So the shadow is inside of Lamont. Okay, so Lamont was Peter Pan.
I'm listening.
In Neverland. All right, he starts growing up. They kick him out of Neverland because he's aging. So he wants his revenge, but he needs funding for his revenge to get back into Neverland. But in that process, forgets about Neverland. All right,
forgets about it? Yeah. You are insane.
Yeah, I know, right?
You're an insane person.
That's the only way this makes sense.
It actually does make way more sense than that.
Yeah, right? Like, so he forgets about Neverland and he just goes on this quest. He doesn't know why he's trying to, like, slaughter people and get all this money for revenge because he's
forgot
about Neverland.
I would also watch that movie.
I love
it. Because that adds up more than this does.
Well, because I do love the sort of metaphorical, like, reuniting with your shadow self, with the, you know, the bad part of yourself that you don't like to admit, that you don't like to look at, but is always with you. So,
he's evil at the beginning, right? He's straight up villain.
We killed his
Alec Baldwin?
Yeah. He kills that guy. He's an opium guy.
Yeah, he has cocaine fingers.
Yeah.
He likes cocaine so much that it's just not the pinky. It's all 10 fingers. So at any given point, if one finger gets tired.
I see that as somebody very generous because they've got it one for themselves.
So he's like a serving tray of cocaine?
Everybody can come and get a little bit. It's like more communal. It's not selfish. Like, here I am doing coke. It's like, hey, everybody, come on. Come over here, everybody. Noses are touching. We're all good friends.
These are great. All great theories. All great questions. All right, I'm going to go back to Maroon Shirt. Because we have to. What do you think? What do you have?
Okay, so my name's Tim. And the sequel would be The Lady Shadow. Where he trains Penelope Ann Miller to be, now they're like a shadow team.
Yep.
Anyway.
We liked it.
So my comment is when they're in the noodle shop and he's got his business suit on, Alec Baldwin's like, hey, that's the US of A you're talking about, pal. Then they both draw their guns, shoot at each other, and the bullets hit each other, but they didn't make that happen. They like have a bond and look at each other like, oh shit, did that just happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they were trained by the same person.
But were they really?
So, like, wow, so it's a Harry Potter thing. Their wands are connected.
Oh, you think it's because they both have the same thing inside, the same phoenix feather?
Who has a really good question? I see you're okay. You have a good question. All right, you're wearing a cool shirt. I like this.
One of them had the Elder Wand.
Wait, what is this?
Don't worry about it.
Sir, your name, your title, and your question.
My name's Jason.
Prove it.
You recognize the Jason. I didn't realize that.
I don't know. Is it? Are you really named Jason?
Yes, sir.
All right. Oh, she's nodding, so I believe it. All right, you're cool. All right, this guy seems to get it.
The sequel would be The Shadow 2, Pissing Away Millions More. And my question, so my understanding of the powers is, as far as the building and...
I have a question for you, though. Do you consider yourself to be the Jason of your group?
Yes, sir, because my name is Jason, which is the main qualifier.
So you're probably the Jason of your group. Cool, go ahead.
Okay. So the way that he and the building both would disappear was hypnosis-based. They didn't actually turn invisible, which is why he still cast a shadow. So my question is, why didn't that gigantic building cast a shadow?
Nice. Bam!
Wait.
I think because
they've been hypnotized.
I don't think the shadow is hypnotizing people to not see him.
He's just becoming a shadow.
His shadow is still visible because, but that's just because of whatever. I think the hypnosis of the building is
totally
not the same
thing
as
separate.
You don't see me, right?
Now you see me.
Is it now you see me? Three shadow. What's up, Shadow Bros? Revenge of the Shadow Bros.
Who thinks they're gonna have the question that's gonna really knock it out of the park? All right, like the confidence is high with this guy over here. All right, here we go. Final question, I think. Here we go. Final question, because we're not making any headway. Your name, your name.
We're further down the rabbit hole. I think we actually know less about the movie now.
I really feel like. Oof, geez. Name, title, question.
David, I'm gonna steal from June. Shadow Bros, starring all the Baldwins. Okay. If you want to see a movie about the knife, you can. It was The Golden Child, starring Eddie Murphy. It's the same knife, which...
Same actor from the beginning, too.
Yes. Which means this is probably a prequel to The Golden Child.
Holy shit.
Real?
Yes.
It's not the same knife, really. It's just there's also...
I mean, it looks... Wait.
I'll find out.
They're the same prop.
What?
It's the same knife. Same face. Same form.
Wait, is this real?
The Golden Child, is it called?
Yes.
An Eddie Murphy movie.
I'll fucking find out if you're lying.
Eddie Murphy movie with some of the, I mean, it's definitely some of the actors are in the same movie. If this is a prequel to Golden Child.
We have not succeeded in making one lick.
Oh my
of
God,
sense.
It is the same fucking night.
Holy shit.
So wait.
Golden Child is a sequel to...
Wait, do these movies take place in the same cinematic universe?
That is crazy. That is it.
It might be a little bigger.
That's pretty great.
But that's a good call.
And yeah, because the guy is all the guy who's always like making fun of Eddie Murphy is the guy in the beginning who gets shot. Yeah.
What?
Oh my God. It actually says it's the knife from the shadow.
It's the exact same knife.
If you Google the Golden Child knife, the shadow knife comes up. But it looks
by the way, we
bigger.
Made a joke
a
about it
bigger.
Earlier. That knife got a lot of work.
Holy shit.
And it did. It was bad in both movies.
Well, this is amazing.
Wow.
Obviously, we had an opinion. Let's type in Golden Child knife just so we see. What? Golden Child knife.
Huh?
There we go. So
I need to know if that really happened because I've been doing a lot of drugs and now I don't know if you said Google.
There it is. Same knife, just so you can see it. Wow.
Why? That only makes this movie worse.
Well, we can buy it for $12.
Guys,
at wholesalesworld.com. Wholesalesworld.com.
I want everybody to reach under your seats. Everybody gets a knife. Murder each other.
Wow.
Only five people can leave this room.
No, look to the left. It says the shadow. Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Wow.
This All is right. very bizarre. But also the other images, also bizarre. Yep.
This is a very visual part of the podcast.
You were looking for the shadow knife. Want to see a picture of this girl in a bikini?
The second episode where we're just Googling images and enjoying them all.
Oh, okay.
Obviously we had an opinion about this movie, but there are some people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions. Okay, here we go. These are five-star reviews culled from Amazon. Let me just tell you, The reviews for this film were so angry. And they're mad at Batman. They are mad at Batman the character, Batman the movie. They have a lot to say. I'm going to read you some of my favorites. Here we go. This is from Priscilla Statford. The Shadow is something like Batman, Superman, and the Phantom, and other comic book hero movies. But on the other hand, it's very unlike them in that I totally loved it. I've always loved good-looking Alec Baldwin.
Not, is that, I like that qualifier. I don't love not good-looking Alec Baldwin, also known as Stephen Baldwin.
In this movie...
I have to say, though, he does look amazing in this movie.
Does look very good.
Yes. He's a hunk and a half.
In this movie, his acting and expressions are very good.
Which, I took both acting and expressions.
Oh, you have to.
Did you take gestures?
I took gestures. Oh, I failed gestures.
And then it goes, you know at the end where Baldwin has the hat, the cape, and the scarf off? His outfit really looks like Neo's in the movie The Matrix. Alec Baldwin looks so cool wearing this outfit with his chrome 45s in his hands. Exclamation point, exclamation point.
This was written by Alec Baldwin.
5 stars. This is from Eric Hildebrand. In my opinion, this is a better film than Burton's or anyone else's Batman. It was written in 2008.
That's a real fuck you to Schumacher right there.
Here are the reasons that it makes it better. 1, a deeper backstory, an even more ambivalent protagonist.
That is simply untrue.
2, richer characterizations. 3, better co-stars.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some good ones.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson's pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked him. But yeah, I guess I would take
Peter
maybe this
Boyle,
cast.
Ian McKellen.
Yeah, this
Tim
is good.
Curry.
Yeah, I would take this. All right, that wins. 1 point wins. A better plot.
No.
No. I could argue that we could describe Batman.
Yeah.
Pretty simply. Even from memory. Better special effects. Draw?
Same.
Yeah, same. A more interesting female lead.
Boo!
Is that Kim Basinger versus... I guess she was more interesting than Kim Basinger. She's
less
of a damsel.
Well, she does get her own, like, you know, when the bad guy hypnotizes her to kill him. Like, there's a little bit of, like, business to that. But again, like, why is she so able to get into his house with a gun?
Very easy. Okay, and then this is where it gets off the rails. One of the greatest achievements of this production is that somehow the director avoided the temptation to overlay a modern sensibility onto 1930s characters. Many recent superhero films have imposed a Beverly Hills 90210 or Melrose Place approach to characterization. This is written in 2008. Which is a loathsome idea. More loathsome is that Frank Miller Sin City approach to character, which can best be described as Mickey Spillane on meth.
Whoa!
Besides predating Batman, the Shadow is many ways more of an interesting character. The Shadow has a couple of .45 caliber pistols and used powers of mesmerism to cloud men's minds. Also, the Shadow wore regular clothes, but disguised himself with an overcoat, a slouch hat, and a scarf, which is way more stylish and less sissy than leotards. 5 stars.
Doesn't Tim Curry call him a sissy?
Yes.
I feel like he uses that word a lot because he sounds like Tim Curry.
Yeah.
He'd be like, sissy.
It is. It's so confusing. I mean, I guess we've already gone over this, but like why the Shadow's power is mind control. Like, why not just be a shadow and lean into that?
You see, yeah.
Yeah, just enjoy that one power.
Be a shadow.
And the power of being a shadow, running around real fast.
Well, you know, he isn't a shadow.
What?
He can become a shadow.
I don't think so. All you see is his shadow.
Right, but one of his, but what his power is being just a shadow.
No.
This is where we are. We're at the end of the show and have just discovered this disagreement, wherein half of us believe that his superpower is to become a shadow.
The movie is called The Shadow.
Right. All you see, he becomes invisible and all you can see is his shadow, right? But he is a physical, invisible man, right?
He is
a real man, but he can become a shadow.
Don't get angry. You know what, guys? I don't care anymore.
Okay.
No, this we need to get to the... I will stay here all goddamn night.
Of course.
Fuck the other movie. Fuck the other crowd. I only want to get to the bottom of this piece
of
garbage.
Who here thinks that he is just a man and... well, I guess the question would be, who here thinks he's a shadow just by applause? Like he can turn into a literal shadow by applause.
Really?
Who here thinks that he just... What do you think, Jason?
Wait, go to the... What's the crawl at the beginning?
All right, the crawl at the beginning is this. So it goes, the price of redemption for Cranston was to take up man's struggle against evil. The Tukul taught him to cloud men's mind, fog their vision through the force of concentration, leaving visible the only thing he can never hide, his shadow.
Yes. Don't worry about it, guys. Don't worry about it. Those of you who doubted me, don't worry about it.
Well, this is my favorite review because this is someone who truly gets the movie. This is from Eve William, written in 2000. Lone displays a modern version of Iago. He must seduce the hero by joining him. The conquest of a new empire controlling the whole world. Great lessons come to display by Baldwin, and you see Baldwin refusing the temptation and returns to mankind the righteousness in which it deserves. Quickly, you see Baldwin in mind controlling a piece of broken mirror in the final scene that ends the dream of a tyrant. 5 stars.
All right.
By the way, that
can I go back to this for one second?
That review is better written than the movie. Go ahead, Jim.
I see. Now I'm understanding from the text. But if his main power weren't to be completely invisible, then like why wouldn't he just be a shadow all the time? Like why is he not a shadow all the time if that's the pinnacle of his powers?
I don't think it's he's not a shadow.
He uses
his ability to cloud men's minds so they can't see him, so that he seems to be
a shadow
everywhere and nowhere. They don't know where, like the guy in the beginning, shooting wildly because he can't figure out where this guy is, and that's why the cackling laugh, and that's why it is all this kind of disembodied threat. But as we see, he can be shot. You know, he can be hit, and he starts to bleed.
So you could definitely still stay in the hotel.
He could stay. Yeah, no.
The hotel you could still have like a king size bed.
He could go to bed. You wouldn't see him on the bed, but you would see the indentation of him on the bed.
And we'll continue this conversation on the wrap-up show. We'll just continue the after show.
Oh. I guess I'm just shocked at how complicated this power is.
I'm shocked. I don't know from what's happening. I don't feel good about this.
I didn't enjoy it.
I didn't enjoy any of this. This was.
I don't care to talk about it anymore, actually.
Yeah, well, with that, I feel with that, we can't go any further. We have discussed it. We have talked to so many people here. No one can make sense of this fucking movie.
Paul, can I ask the audience a question?
Yeah.
Just because I'm curious.
Go ahead.
By applause, who thinks they understood the movie? Okay, good, good. Because I really thought they're all going to applaud and we're idiots.
I'm glad.
Like okay. 1/4 of the audience got this movie.
And I bet those like 5 people who clapped are like, well, I listened to all the radio plays. They're all on Audible.
Well, obviously, I guess we can answer this question, but would you recommend this movie, Pete?
No.
June?
No.
Jason?
Really, really genuinely, and I mean this from the bottom of my tiny stone heart, no.
I'm going to just finish it up and say, nope. So that is a big answer for all you there. If you want to find out more about this movie, you can definitely read the article, the companion piece article, up on Slash Film, written by Blake Harris. I don't know who he's getting yet, but it will be good. As we've just found out recently in Mannequin 2, some really great stuff. Yeah, so he's getting to the bottom of this. But if you want to have anything that you would like to add, you can give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's A-S-K, Paul Ask. Not Paul Ask.
It's not Paul Ask?
No.
No, you sure? Because I've been leaving
messages. I'm going to put down my foot and say I'm pissed off at people calling Paul Ask with movie-related questions. That is a line for sensuality. And that is a line for adult talk, not movie talk. You call this 619-PAUL Ask for movie talk. Okay?
Paul That's a ask. Profession. Paul Ask is where you get dirty dog on the phone.
I get adult with other adults.
Yeah.
That's what I do. And you can listen to the best messages played on our mini episodes. And so let's say where we are going to be. Pete, you have anything you want to plug?
My stand-up special will air on Comedy Central October 15th.
Now, are you a shadow in this? Are you totally corporeal?
Are you visible? Yeah. No, I'm very visible and very drunk. So enjoy it, everybody.
Wait, you said October 15th on Comedy Central?
Yes.
All right, great. June?
You can check out Grace and Frankie. Season 1 and 2 are both on Netflix.
Jason?
I got nothing.
I'm going to also just pass the buck and say, yeah, I got nothing.
I mean, you can follow us, I guess, on the How Did This Get Made Twitter.
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter and on our Facebook page.
Eat shit.
Yeah, we're at HDTGM and we're on Facebook at How Did This Get Made. Big thanks to Avril Halley who cut all these amazing clips. July Diaz, Nate Kiley, Marissa Zeitz, Leanna Waldron, everybody here at Largo, everybody at Airwolf. Thank you guys so much for coming out to a live How Did This Get Made. We'll see you on the mini episode.
Hello, hello. This is Nagin Farsad, the host of Fake the Nation, where we talk about politics, we talk about news, and we have a laugh.
We were laughing.
Every week, a cast of my funniest, smartest, and most politically astute friends, people like John Fugelsang, Liz Winstead, Dean Obidala, and others, tackle all the major issues like climate change.
America leads the world in people who think climate change is fake, but pro wrestling is real.
Guns.
I started calling the NRA the AK-47%.
Filibuster? I don't even know her. Okay, that's not a major issue, but it's a really great pun. Guys, Fake the Nation is all the comedy about politics without any of the politics about politics.
Fake the Nation.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.